Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Nauta goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brom. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player is by Craywood, too. He did it. He's got it. He's the play puzzle. And Blair has done it. Blair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
On the ride home, it's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. With open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Instagram, IGJHood, on Snapchat, SnapJHood. We are on an hour early, keeping you coming until 8 o'clock. Then we've got college basketball as Ohio State takes on Michigan. It's the reason why I'm on now. Glad that you are with us. Have a safe drive home wherever you are. Make sure that you are keeping it on the road and be safe. Definitely tonight and tomorrow, and glad that you're aboard with us here on this Tuesday night. On the program tonight, we will have Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday coming off of the Royal Rumble that took place in Phoenix, Arizona. Could we be getting a Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch main event at WrestleMania? We'll talk to Mike Johnson from PWInsider.com coming up at 6:45 before SmackDown takes place on the USA Network. We'll get his thoughts about what we could see. We could see an all-women's main event for WrestleMania coming up this year. Also, we'll hear from Brian Hamilton, who covers college basketball for TheAthletic.com. Brian used to work for the Chicago Tribune for about 6-7 years, but is on the college basketball beat. Let me get his thoughts on how long it's going to take for Illinois to be a serious contender in the Big Ten. The Big Ten, I think, is very fluid, especially at the top, but also at the bottom. You saw Illinois with a victory against Maryland over the weekend. So I want to get his thoughts on just some of the college basketball landscape. And the other reason why I'm asking is because of the Bulls. I'm going to ask him about some of the top prospects in the upcoming draft that we're going to have in June. Like, where's RJ Barrett? Where's Zion Williamson? Is there others we could look at the top that could be going to the NBA? So we'll get Brian's thoughts coming up at 7:30. And plenty of time for your thoughts as well. 312-332-ESPN is the telephone number. So glad you're with us here on this Tuesday. Plenty to talk about here for our short two-hour ride that we have here together. So first thing on my mind I've been hearing all day is talking about Anthony Davis. Chicago's own, Prospects High School, 25 years old. Anthony Davis made it very clear that he wanted out of New Orleans. When the story came across, that was no surprise to me. And the reason why is because he's looking to, A, be able to have a lot more money, and B, be with the real contender at the tender age of 25. There's two ways for me to look at this as an NBA fan. One way is Anthony Davis is tied with Rich Paul, which is the group that LeBron James is part of. And two, I think about New Orleans, because as soon as Anthony Davis is traded or wherever, when he leaves that team, you could just pretty much get the nails and the boards up in New Orleans. That'll be the end of that franchise. He is the reason why anyone goes to the Smoothie King Arena to see Anthony Davis. So when he's done, they might as well just fold the franchise, move it to Seattle or St. Louis, where it belongs. But you understand this before we go even deeper into the weeds of what's going on with this story. What we have here in 2019, and what we've had here for a little bit of time now, if you've been missing it, is that the NBA is a players' league. And not just on the floor, not just how players can get coaches fired, because that goes all the way back to Magic Johnson when he finally picked his head coach and Pat Riley was able to lead the Lakers to championships way back in the day. What I'm talking about is, with this being a players' league, Rich Paul and the conglomerate that LeBron James hangs around, really have the marionette strings when it comes to the NBA. It's only four or five guys. It's a very tight-knit group. But because of Clutch Sports in Cleveland, Pat Riley actually was at a game in Cleveland to be able to sit down and talk to that Clutch Sports group to find out the availability of Anthony Davis coming to the Miami Heat. It is interesting how just a small group of guys can be able to control an entire league as far as who's going to go where. When LeBron James says that, "I really want to play as long as possible, and I want to be around the best talent," some of you find that to be weak. Some of you that look at LeBron James and you can't stand him, you don't like him because of his personality or because of the decision, all that. I couldn't care less about all that because I'm a grown-up. When I look at LeBron James, I'll just look at what he does on the basketball court. But I also look at him as a businessman. I'm going to make a parallel between LeBron James and Tom Brady. Tom Brady is in a position to win yet another Super Bowl championship with the New England Patriots. And some of you say, well, you know, Tom Brady's trying to play this victim role, like he's the underdog. Why is he saying this? Tom Brady more than likely is going to win this upcoming Sunday against the Los Angeles Rams. But just like Tom Brady, LeBron James, in that same vein, wants to be around young players to keep him going. He wants to play beyond the next 4 years of his contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. And the reason why that he can continue to play is if he's got young, talented players around him, he can stay on the floor too. He can be part of a championship team too. Same as Tom Brady. Tom Brady, there has been so much conversation about his demise at the New England Patriots. Oh, this is over. There's no doubt that it's over now. No, now it's over. No, now, right now it's over. And you keep getting it wrong. Because Tom Brady keeps himself young around young players. He stays upright with a very strong offensive line. And so even at age 41, dude is still trying to play at a high level and on the precipice of winning another Super Bowl championship. Same thing with LeBron James with his Clutch Sports. LeBron James is doing a lot more off the floor than Michael Jordan ever did. LeBron James is doing a lot more from a business standpoint than Michael Jordan ever did. And because it's a different mentality and it's a different society now in 2019. It's not just about basketball. And so when Anthony Davis could be sniffing around the Los Angeles Lakers, or going to a team that Clutch Sport gives a thumbs up on, I can't be surprised with, because this is where the league is right now. But I think there are some of you that are surprised now that the Bears have hibernated and you know the Super Bowl is not going to come through Chicago. It's going to go through the LA Rams or the New England Patriots. Some of you on January 29th all of a sudden said, "Oh, Chicago's own Anthony Davis. Oh, Davis. Oh, so he's going to be with the Bulls, right?" I don't know if I should be the one to wake you up on this, but I've been on this for a while now. Not just on tonight's show. I've been on this for a while. And the reason why I've been on this for a while is one word. And the word is culture. As we talk about the Bulls, the NBA with Jonathan Hood on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You are probably wondering, why aren't the Bulls in the mix for Anthony Davis, right? The answer to the question is culture. And a winning culture at that. Do you realize it's been 21 years since the last championship for the Chicago Bulls? 21 years since the Bulls last had a championship. There was a column on ESPN.com about the contenders for Davis, for Anthony Davis, and the possibility of him wanting to be traded to the Celtics or the Lakers or some of these other teams. Chicago was not even in the column. The reason why Chicago's not in the column, and you would think, hey, you know, he's from here, he'd want to come home. But come home to what? Come home to what? What's he coming home to? As much as you and I would love to be able to drop dime at the United Center to see a top 10 player in this league and Anthony Davis play every night, what are you coming home to? We need to be able to look at reality. Doesn't matter if you have a great time at the United Center and you love Benny the Bull and the popcorn trick and all the classic rock from the 1960s they play at the United Center. That doesn't matter. What should matter to you is for your financial and for your emotional investment in the team. You would want something in return, right? Don't you want to see wins? Don't you want to see championships? Don't you think that you deserve that as a fan? You and I are going to spend a lot of money for entertainment in 2019. Whether it's going to be going to a movie or going to a play or going to the theater, whatever it is, going to games. But don't you think in return we should have something for besides just, hey, we had a good seat at the United Center and we saw the Bulls lose again. But this is what I'm talking about here, where some of you just fall for the okey-doke. If you don't know what's going on with the Bulls and you just start to just all of a sudden wake up and realize, wait, Anthony Davis is not a contender to come to Chicago, there is a reason why that he won't. It's because of where the Bulls are in the hierarchy of the NBA. Just because you can make a case, because I know that in this weird, odd universe that we live in now, that up is down and down is up, and the sky's orange, and everything is, you could just make a counter-argument just for counter-argument's sake. But I still am kind of old school. I still kind of like the facts. I still kind of am into the facts. And the facts were laid out by Stan Van Gundy on Cap and Company earlier today. The facts that was laid out. A number of things that Stan Van Gundy, the former NBA coach, now analyst for ESPN.com and ESPN, talked about. One of the questions was by Jordan Cornett, why don't free agents want to play in Chicago? Because that's always a big thing. Why don't free agents want to play in Chicago? Here's Stan's thoughts.
Well, I mean, look, players, I think right now, I mean, it comes down to once you get past the money, money's obviously the biggest thing, but when you're talking the high-level free agents, everybody knows you're paying them the max. Beyond that, I think it's pretty simple. It's, you know, where they want to live and who they want to play with a chance to win. And obviously the teams that can offer both of those are going to be at the top of the list. The warm weather states are always going to have an advantage. You know, you wake up this morning and you look at the temperature in Chicago and you look at the temperature in LA, that's certainly part of it. There's no question. And then you can go play with LeBron James, or, you know, you can go play with Chris Dunn. I mean, it's going to be those things that are going to make the difference to people. And, you know, gone are the days that somebody wants to come home and be the hero. You know, the last time was LeBron going back home, but he'd always already won his two championships. You're just not going to get that. Like, you're not going to get an Anthony Davis saying, hey, bring me home and we'll build this thing up together. That's not happening.
The thoughts there from Stan Van Gundy. Former players, current players in the NBA have told me this, and I think this could be the case for many sports across the sports landscape, and that is three things that they look at when you're a free agent or want to be traded like Anthony Davis, and that is finance, championship rings, and family, however they put it. And so some prioritize it a little bit differently. Some may move family up and move rings down and finances, but what the bottom line is that it's usually those three things. It's how much money are you going to pay me? What's my chance to be able to have a legacy of being a champion? And, of course, family, whether it's a girlfriend, whether it is a married couple, whether it is kids, whatever it is, those three things always matter to a free agent, because you're just trying to figure out, like, all right, if I go to this team, does this increase my chances of winning a championship? And the answer is no. Not coming here is not the case. And it's not because I think that. It's because of the facts, and it's the fact that Gar Forman and John Paxson are in place as a brain trust for the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are run like a mom-and-pop shop. There's no reason why you and I couldn't start the show, be excited of the prospect of Anthony Davis coming here to be a difference maker for the Bulls. But see, it won't happen there because of the mom-and-pop shop. It is the equivalent of Gar and Pax behind the counter, and little kids just take the little penny candy and they continue to take the Snickers bars and they run out of the store. It's okay. They took our candy. They're very good kids. They continue to come back and support us. And then they see the books at tax time and they realize, oh, we're at a loss because we're running like a mom and pop shop. And on the other side of the street, oh, there's Whole Foods kicking our ass. The mom and pop shop are the Chicago Bulls in that particular category. Whole Foods are the Lakers. They're the Golden State Warriors. They're the Denver Nuggets. They're the Milwaukee Bucks. Whole Foods are those teams. And the Bulls are that little mom and pop shop that continue to lose money and popularity every single year. You know it's there, but it's not as popular as Whole Foods on the other side of the street. And so this is what the Bulls are. When it comes to the free agents and when it comes to the front office, Stan Van Gundy also was on Cap and Company talking about how he looks at the front office of the Bulls.
It's a bad setup for Jim. That's a bad setup for coaches in Chicago, quite honestly. I mean, you know, that they had their conflicts over the years with Tom Thibodeau, even though he was winning. They fired a guy who was having great success. They chose Fred. Fred did a good job, and then they wanted to rebuild, so they had a tough year last year. And then they quit on him, and now they're going to Jim. And if things don't get better, I would bet on Paxson and Foreman simply offering Jim Boylan up as their next excuse for poor performance. The bottom line is that is not a good place to be if you're an NBA basketball coach working for those two guys. They don't respect coaches, and, you know, it's a tough situation. The other thing was when you're building a team, the last thing you want to be doing is turning over coaches. So if they're going to now make another change at the end of the year, I think one of the problems in Orlando that they've had in their rebuild is constantly turning over coaches. Young guys need to get some continuity and understand system they're playing in, what's expected of them, everything else. I see some of these teams with young players turning over coaches, and that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Usually, as Stan Van Gundy was on Cap and Company, you can hear the interview in its entirety, the Cap and Company section of ESPN 1000's podcast page. But there's no question about it that when you're turning the coaches over and you know the coaches under the tenure and under the auspices of John Paxson and Gar Foreman, we're talking about the Scott Skiles, the Vinny Del Negros, you know, the Tom Thibodeaus, the Fred Hoibergs. It's always their fault, right? It's always their fault because you're supposed to fire the coach every 3 years because that makes sense, right? You have to be able to understand that no matter if you are generally managing the team or if you're the vice president of basketball operations, you have to be able to let a system take place. But in that system, whatever system you believe in with that new head coach, you have to be able to be creative to bring quality players to the United Center. Look at the free agents that the Bulls were able to get over the last, 10-plus years, more than that? The best free agents that the Bulls could come up with is Ben Wallace, Carlos Boozer, and Pau Gasol. Now, those are all three role players, but there's no A-list when it comes to those three guys as far as difference-making players to come to Chicago. Not the case. But this is where you are right now. And so when Anthony Davis comes into the conversation, and I'm thinking, man, Anthony Davis with the Bulls would be great, but you know it's a pipe dream. The Bulls would be 29th or 30th on that list for Rich Paul and for the agents of Anthony Davis to go someplace. 29th or 30th. Because when you run shabbily, and everybody knows it, why would want anyone that is of the caliber of Anthony Davis want to come to Chicago? This is where you are. I'm just telling you what is really going on with the organization, what's going on with the team. Here's a great example of a team that was able to come together through draft picks and be a viable place for free agents to come at some point. Maybe not A-list, but definitely top B-list. And that's the opponent they're taking on tonight in the Brooklyn Nets. They're taking on the Nets tonight. The Nets more than likely will make the playoffs this year. It took some time, but they were able to do some things from a trading standpoint, getting draft picks, trying to shine up that organization so it could be viable. It is New York, and it's Brooklyn. That's where the Bulls are playing. And where are the Bulls going? In this world-class city, the city I grew up in, all of a sudden, the Bulls are not a destination for top-notch free agents. So when we get to this spring and summer and you and I start talking about free agents, don't call me telling me that for sure Klay Thompson's coming here or Anthony Davis or anybody else, because it's just not happening. Because this is the bed that Michael Reinsdorf, Jerry Reinsdorf, and John Paxson and Gar Forman have laid out for everybody. Yeah, it'd be great for us to be going back and forth about possible deals with Dave, but it's just not happening. I want to ask you this question. And Sean, open the phone lines. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. You can also give me your thoughts on Snapchat. If you follow me on Snapchat, I'll follow you back guaranteed at SnapJHood. Also on Instagram, IGJHood. I want to ask you this question. Where do you place the Bulls among the teams in Chicago to win a championship? When we talk about the Sox, Cubs, Hawks, Bears, and Bulls, are the Bulls last in that list? Are the Bulls second to last in that list? Think about you as a Cub fan. You expect between at least now and 2021 to be right back in the mix at the very least for the World Series, right? If you're the White Sox, if you're a Sox fan coming off of Sox Fest, you're hyped because you know that the arrow's pointing up. You just don't know how far up just yet because you don't know if Machado's coming. But you expect, under Rick Hahn and what he's doing, for the Sox to at least get close, much closer than the 100 losses they had this past season. If you're a Hawks fan coming off of 3 Stanley Cups and kind of a new head coach, you expect that at some point this organization will be able to get better, right? They'll be a playoff team at some point, right? When it comes to the Chicago Bears, the Bears are one Cody Parkey kick away from possibly being in this mix right here in the Super Bowl, taking on the New England Patriots. Who knows? But you know that once again, because of the defense and because of what they did offensively, that it's not last place. It's definitely a team that can contend next season. So where are the Bulls in that mix? I don't have that same kind of line, that whole conversation about the Bulls like I have for the Sox and the Cubs and the Hawks and the Bears. You think about it. You give me a call. I want to get your thoughts because I don't see how the Bulls are anywhere close to even the Blackhawks or the White Sox in that regard. You tell me. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. A lot of that is because of how it's run. This is no shot at the players. The players are who they are. They're being coached by Jim Boylan. So there's limitations on them anyway because Jim Boylan's the head coach, the guy with the whistle around his neck, doing push-ups. Great. That doesn't mean wins. It was a mutiny on Jim Boylan's hands 24 hours into the job to the point where a former Bulls assistant coach said, there's no way I'm working for you. I'm leaving. You can figure out who that guy is. That's breaking the fourth wall, but you can figure out who that is. There's no way I'm working for you, Jim. I'm out of here. That's exactly what happened. So 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Where do you place the Bulls amongst the teams in Chicago to win a championship? Are the Bulls anywhere close to the Cubs or the Bears in this conversation? We'll take your phone calls coming up. Also, get your thoughts on Instagram and Snapchat, SnapJHood. Still to come, oh, Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. Will Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch, will they be the headliners for WrestleMania coming up this year? We'll get into that. Also, some college basketball talk and a lot more as we move forward here as you're listening to Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood.
So pay attention to my word, because it's the true fruit. Meditation is the mind. It brings the youth. Yeah. It's like a verse you could never read out of a book. Dropping the line in your mind like a fish hook.
On ESPN 1000. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Glad you're with me here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll have a full show on Wednesday 7 to 10, full show Thursday 7 to 10, and 7 to 9 on Friday. So we'll be back to our normal time at 7 o'clock. But the reason why I'm on now on the ride home, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, is because we got college basketball coming up at 8 o'clock. So Adam Delavitt carving me out a couple of hours here. Appreciate that. And so that means I can get a chance to talk to you, which is great. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number, saying what's up to Jeff and Cecil and DJ Whitmore and Ferde. Checking in on Snapchat, SnapJHood is where you can find me. If you follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back guaranteed. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about where you place the Bulls amongst the best teams in Chicago to win a championship. And the reason why it comes up is because of Anthony Davis. And I know that he's a Chicago product from Perspectives High School. And I love watching Anthony Davis play, especially when he's healthy. That's always an issue with him. I hate to see him writhing in pain because I'm a fan. With him being from the city that I'm from, I want to see the best for him. Already in his career, I was looking it up on ProBasketballReference.com. Anthony Davis's numbers through six seasons, they relate to the following. His numbers are aligned with Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, Roger Brown, Paul George, George Yardley, Blake Griffin, Kenny Sears, Amari Stoudemire, Calvin Natt, and Willie Wise. So there's like six guys I recognize off that list. But anytime that the closest basketball player to Anthony Davis is Kawhi Leonard, it's pretty special. It's pretty cool because Kawhi is definitely going to be a Hall of Famer in his own right. So that's what we're asking, because I just don't see a way out of this for the Bulls. It's not just going to be one lucky ping pong ball, because no matter what you look at with the Bulls, it's always going to be a culture issue. John Paxson is in the way. Gar Forman is in the way. They need to have a fresh set of eyes in that organization. I've been saying it for years. But if it doesn't happen, then how does that get better? You can have one lucky ping pong ball, but if you don't have anyone to coach him, if you don't have anyone around that ping pong ball, then where are you going? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Let's go to Chatham. Robert leads us off here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. What's up, Rob?
Jay Hood, what's up?
What's cracking?
All right. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Man, you hit it right on the head. It starts at the top. Nobody's going to want to come here with the people we got in charge. And I would like to lead the way. The Bulls, to answer your question, the Bulls will be the last one to turn around and win a championship out of all the Chicago teams. They come in last. The way they set up right now, they come in last. What the Bulls fans need to do is storm the United Center and demand that Foreman, Paxson, everybody in charge be run out of office until we can get somebody in there that knows how to run that team and bring another flag hanging from those six that's coming from the roof of the United Center.
Robert, I'm glad you checked in. It's a good point. I appreciate your telephone call. I see what your point is. It feels like if you were a fan of the Cincinnati Bengals, not the Browns, but if you were a fan of the Bengals, and you were waiting for Marvin Lewis to finally get fired or for him to finally step down year after year, it's the same. You can have loyalty. There's nothing wrong with loyalty in life. Nothing wrong with loyalty in sports. But if you're on that treadmill of mediocrity, where are you going? You have to look at life more than, oh, this is how much money that we're making. Oh, this is how many butts and seats at the United Center. I think even if you're in a shirt and tie up there, I think you have to at least look at the organization like, boy, I really like to have our organization to be a championship level team like the Warriors. You know, like the teams that have these dynasties. Bulls were through that. Thank you, Michael Jordan. He still doesn't get enough credit. If it wasn't for Michael Jordan and the players around Michael Jordan, would the Bulls have the same success? If it wasn't for Jordan, we'd still be talking about the Norm Van Leer, Jerry Sloan Bulls from the 70s. They didn't even win a championship. They were just successful getting to the conference finals back then. My goodness. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. At some point, money's great. You already have money. You have generational income. You have generational wealth. What about the rings? What about trying to do anything you can via trade or through the draft to get better and not slide backwards, but get better every year? That's for any organization in this city. Corey in Naperville with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's up, Jay Hood? I definitely, unfortunately, the Bulls, they have to be the worst. And MJ, this squad, they have a better chance of winning than the Bulls do. It's been the same song and dance, just different dance partners with Pax. You know, unfortunately, they're number three in the NBA with money. They're not going to change. They don't care. Because if they care, they would have stopped a long time ago.
Corey, I'm glad you checked in, man. I appreciate your phone call. But I just can't believe that you're in business. I know I could not be in that business and just say, you know what, the people in place will lead us to a championship. If I'm Michael Reinsdorf, you have to look at this and take a step back. Even ask somebody across the room, do you think we're going in the right direction? The answer is no. That's the problem. The answer is no. And that's the thing that's irritating to me, because all of a sudden now in January, now that there's no Bears conversation and people are looking at the Bulls like, wait a minute, the Bulls suck. Well, no blank. Of course they do. That's nothing new. They lost to the Cavs the other day. So you could tank and you can wish and hope and click your heels that R.J. Barrett or Zion Williamson will be in the Bulls uniform. That doesn't mean anything if the culture is the same. You might be entertained by one player, but that's not going to stop Zach LaVine from taking a jackknife three to lose a ball game for you again and again and again. That's not going to stop Chris Dunn from being able to take, to miss six layups at the rim. That's who they are. But again, remember who brought the culture in to the United Center. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. We will go to Roger in Franklin Park with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hey, Raj.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for checking in.
I just wanted to chime in. It's like year in and year out, they just keep missing on draft picks. But what's really got me not watching the Bulls anymore, other than just checking a victory or a loss, is that guard packs failed to put someone viable as a backup when D. Rose got hurt. They just never rebounded. And I think the Bulls have been bad since Derrick Rose got hurt, and they just haven't rebounded. They haven't put in that backup point guard. And then they just completely dumped the ship with the whole Jimmy Butler trade. And they ought to fire Gar and Pax and give him a taste of their medicine on Christmas Eve like they've been doing with every other coach out there. It's just been disappointing.
Hoiberg got it on Hanukkah.
Yeah, so, and I just feel like I'm 30, I'm set to be 35 years old. So the last time the Bulls won a championship, I was 14 years old. So it's like, wow. I've been, they had a few years right after, when Heinrich got in with Ben Gordon, the Baby Bulls, and then D. Rose came, and things were going good. And that injury just deflated everything, and they haven't rebounded. It's just like, how have you not rebounded to put someone in place, to say if Derrick Rose is going to come back or not. And it's just disappointing. And then Stan Van Gundy dropped the hammer on them. And it just felt good to hear that, the front office just doesn't appreciate coaches. And there's always some kind of issue. It's like a daycare center. I have twins at home, and sometimes I feel like it's a daycare center. And then I turn on the Bulls and it's the circus.
All right, Roger, I'm glad you checked in, my man. Appreciate your phone call as he drives home. He leaves line open for you now, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. If you know someone that likes the WWE, that likes sports entertainment, make sure they listen to the next segment. We're going to have Mike Johnson from PWInsider.com on to talk about Ronda Rousey. Going from the UFC to the WWE, she's a champion now, and she could be in the main event at WrestleMania. That's really quick. So we'll talk to Mike Johnson, one of our friends, on our Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday segment we do before SmackDown tonight, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You heard what Roger had to say. And you and I both know what the answer is. And again, we're asking the question, where do you place the Bulls amongst the teams in Chicago to win a championship? Are they first? Are they last? Or somewhere in the middle? Answer that question for me, because I just try to figure out where you stand. Anthony Davis would be great in the Bulls uniform, but it won't happen because of the culture. And I want to make sure it's very clear. I'm not telling you not to be a fan of the team. Be a fan of the team. I know the best pro basketball in the city, and it's the Windy City Bulls. I've been doing commentary for them this season, going out to Hoffman Estates and watching them. Like, wow, this is better than the Bulls, the actual Bulls. Windy City's actually there because they give a damn. There's some heart there with that team. There's a couple of G League prospects that's been coming in and out, by the way, of the Bulls roster. Raleigh Alkins is one of them. But I'm watching that team. I'm like, wow, there's some hustle, some want to on that team versus what we see from the Chicago Bulls. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Connor from Plainfield with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hi, Con. We go to Ryan from Chicago Heights on ESPN 1000. Hi, Ryan.
Mr. Hood, how are you tonight?
Good, Mr. Ryan.
Hey, so I think you hit the nail on the head. The common denominator we have here in Chicago and with the White Sox, too, is Mr. Reinsdorf and how he runs his business. I don't know if it's true. I had a rumor that Reinsdorf said he would have traded in six Bulls titles for one more World Series title. How
That's
can you
true.
Expect to field a competitive team with that? I don't know if it's true or not, but
It's true. Well, I just told you. I saw the same quote you saw.
Man, it's just unbelievable. We just in this town, we just want winners. We want people to put it out there. Reinsdorf sits here and puts on this charade that Machado and Harper are coming to town. He does that so he stays relevant. I think Oprah should buy the team. You know, she put out a first-class organization, both the teams. He should be forced to sell both teams, in my opinion.
So where are the Bulls? Are they last, first?
The Bulls are last. Right behind them is the White Sox. Unless they pull off a miracle, get Machado, I hope for the best, but let's be realistic, right?
Well, here's the thing. I appreciate your telephone call. Here's what's more likely. It's more likely for the White Sox to get Machado than the Bulls to get Anthony Davis or anybody that's a quality player. The Machado is not about dollars and cents. It's about whether or not Machado wants to come to the White Sox or not. As I said numerous times, as a White Sox fan, the team that means the most to me in the city, the thing that I look at is this, is that the White Sox need to do what the Cubs did and get themselves a quality free agent first, start building with that free agent, with young players, and let it manifest itself. You know, I want my John Lester. Looks like Cub fans had John Lester. Remember, this championship run started by getting John Lester and getting him to agree to come to the Cubs, in which Lester had no idea whether or not it was going to be a championship ball club or not. He just knew Theo. He knew Jed. And so he comes over. So from a Sox fan standpoint, the Sox should be in the mix for Machado, and they should be able to lock it down. I mean, it's getting late. It's January 29th, and Machado has not signed, neither has Bryce Harper. It's almost like all of these owners are, it's not collusion, but they're all playing chicken to try to figure out, well, who's going to pay what and who's going to be able to blink first. You know, if you're the White Sox, you feel like you're close, you better get yourself one of these free agents. Bring the young guys around, make sure you have the requisite pitching, and then move forward. Get ready for 2020, 2021. So, they shouldn't be balking at it, because without a Machado, without a Bryce Harper on the south side, then it's still going to be somewhere in the area of 70 wins and with the same manager. And that's not, and clearly that's not good enough at all. You got to change the manager. You got to change the culture at a guaranteed rate by getting yourself a quality free agent. Show those young guys like, yeah, we're serious about your future. You know, Rick Hahn is great with the 1 minute and 30 second soundbite, but until I see actual movement besides the acquisition of John Jay, you got to do more than that. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Eric from Naperville with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Jay Hood. Love your show, man.
Thank you.
My question is, you know, when you're in a position like Garin Pax, don't you have some pride and want to be good at your job or be great at your job? What are their expectations for themselves? I mean, when do they say, hey, we've been bad for a long time. Whatever we do is not good. You know, I listened to Cap's show this morning, and he ran down the last 10 first-round picks the Bulls have had and only hit on two of them. And that's just, that success rate is just terrible. And I'm just curious what you think. You know, would they ever just step down and say, hey, I'm not good at this job anymore. Maybe it's passed me up kind of thing. Thanks, man.
I'll tell you this, and I appreciate your phone call, Eric. I think that John Paxson and Gar Forman and those that's up there on the west side, they've hit the lottery ticket. The lottery ticket is the loyalty from Michael and Jerry Reinsdorf. They see how long Jerry Krause stayed even after the championship years, and they figure, well, if the money's still good, we're going to still pretend like we're really going to go for a championship. We're really going to stay in these chairs and keep them warm and just recreate around the basketball team, but not really work hard enough to be able to make it a culture in which free agents would want to come to Chicago. That's the whole thing, man. Jim Boylan is the head coach. What kind of culture are you sending? You fire Fred Hoiberg to you fire Fred Hoiberg to bring in Jim Boylan, the guy next to him. You don't even know if Jim Boylan was taking out Fred Hoiberg by the knees. You know? You don't even know if he was trying to usurp his authority there. You have no idea. That's a mess. But the thing is that I think that those two in particular just don't know what it takes to be able to try to build a championship team. Yes, we had the Derrick Rose years, and yes, there was a lot of injuries. And guess what? In 2019, that's interesting, a lot of injuries again for the Bulls. Snake bitten, or is there an issue there? I think it's something that we should address here. More injuries for the Bulls. That sounds like the Rose era, just like it, as a matter of fact. It's not, you can always tell, by the way, make it very clear. You can always tell the bad teams, right? You can always find them at the lottery. You can always find them at the top of the draft. You know where to find the bad teams because they're there all the time. It's not one of these things where the Bulls are just one and done, like, okay, we're going to bottom out to get back up there again. You're always trying to figure out the next move. How do you get better? How do you get better? And you never get there. Other teams like Indiana, Brooklyn, they found a way. What about the Bulls? We got Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. Mike Johnson will join us as well as we move forward here on Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Oh, say it again.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000.
Follow me on Snapchat, SnapJHood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back at SnapJHood. Also on Instagram, IGJHood. I see you guys chiming in on Instagram as well about our Bulls topic. Where do you place the Bulls amongst the teams in Chicago to win a championship? You got a poll on the Facebook wall as well, facebook.com, Jonathan Hood. You can answer there as well. It's all because Anthony Davis is not going to be part of the Bulls. He'll be part of the Lakers and Rich Paul more than likely because LeBron James says so. And the Bulls are probably 29th and 30th as far as consideration for Anthony to come home. It's crazy, but can't be surprised as we go to C's in Homewood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hey, C's.
Hoodie, what's good, man? I haven't called in a while, man. Listen to you all the time on NBA radio.
Thank you.
I'll just start off, man. The Joliet Slammers got a better chance of winning an MLB championship than the Bulls do. That's first and foremost.
Yeah.
Second, I got to give you a shout-out for the great sneak this on Benny the Bull. They've been doing that damn popcorn bit since the 80s, and I'm 39. That, too. All right, third, yeah. Garn Pact is a bunch of suckers, but I know you remember the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the Reinsdorf are them old guys, them old greedy guys, so they don't care. They just let Garn Pact run amok because they're printing money. They don't care at all. And lastly, one more thing, Hoodie. I got a bone to pick with you. When Mike Glennon was here, I was a guy who had called, man, I used to love that Menin bit. You didn't give him a proper send-off when he left, bro. Please hit your boy off and do it one time for me, man.
Okay.
And I'll take it off the air. Appreciate it, man.
All right, C's. I appreciate it. We'll get that for you. We'll get that, Michael. I got to dig it up because he hasn't been with the team for a while. Yeah, Mike Glennon being really by Menin. That actually sounds the same to me. All right, I'm glad you checked in, C's. Appreciate your phone call. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Well, if you are a wrestling/sports entertainment fan, it's really going down. Ronda Rousey has really done a great job of making that transition from the UFC as the face of UFC in the women's division to the WWE. Could we see Ronda Rousey against Becky Lynch at WrestleMania? Is that the main event? We talked to Mike Johnson from PWI Insider earlier for Tuesday, Wrestling Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening for the Worldwide Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship.
Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first event of the evening is a one-fall match with a 15-minute time limit.
There ain't nobody in wrestling who can make me quit, and that's the bottom line. Stone Cold said so.
Tuesday.
We are what wrestling's all about. New York City here. Chicago here. Jamie on my left. Linda on my right. But I'm not telling any of the girls who I'm going to give it to in Chicago until that night. Woo!
Tuesday, Wrestling. Tuesday returns to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Tuesday, Wrestling Tuesday with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So glad that you are with us. We just got through the Royal Rumble in Phoenix, Arizona. We go to PWInsider.com's Mike Johnson, a friend of the program, and he's with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Jonathan, good to talk to you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you. You remember the old game show Match Game? I think Match Game's still on, isn't it? On the
ABC? There's a new version of it, I think, with Alec Baldwin.
Okay, so you tell me, fill in the blank here. I got my pencil mic, and I want you to answer the question like Gene Rayburn used to.
I like the Gene Rayburn reference. That's great.
Becky Lynch is the most captivating women's wrestler since blank.
Wow. Ever? I'll go with ever.
Wow.
I mean, she's done a phenomenal job of breaking out. I mean, WWE's done a nice job in the last couple of years of being very progressive with the women's division and changing the perception of what a female wrestler is. And that all started with the NXT division and the crop of talents like Charlotte Flair and Sasha Banks and Becky, who came up through that division and that developmental system. But Lynch is kind of like Steve Austin a generation ago. She's just taken on a life of her own, and she's become the most captivating, interesting thing, really, in the entire WWE product right now. And her story of losing her championship match to Asuka and finding a way to get into the Royal Rumble and defeating longtime rival Charlotte in order to win the Rumble and finding her path right back to where she wanted to be back in November, facing off one-on-one with Ronda Rousey. That was honestly some of the more compelling stuff that WWE's put together in the last couple of years. I really think the face-off between Rousey and Lynch on Monday Night Raw this past Monday was one of the best segments they've had in years on Monday Night Raw, dating back to CM Punk breaking the fourth wall. And, you know, everyone in Chicago knows who Punk is, so you probably know what I'm talking about. I think the Lynch-Rousey thing was the most entertaining thing they've done in terms of one singular segment that made you excited about watching a wrestling show, and in this case, WrestleMania, since Punk broke that fourth wall heading into Money in the Bank. So that's 2011, I think. Mm-hmm. So I think that's high praise.
I just, you know, it's funny. We as wrestling fans always look at what Vince McMahon is doing as a promoter, as the guy that's ahead of the company. Say, why is he doing this? Why is it like the one of my last question marks was, so why turn Becky Lynch? She seemed like there was a quality baby face. She was getting over, and then look what happens. It's that shades of gray. I think that she definitely is getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so. And guess what? Vince and the writing crew was right about what they did with Becky Lynch, to the point where that she's on the same level to me as Ronda Rousey, or maybe surpassed her based on popularity.
Yeah, I think it's a case of they had a vision, or maybe they didn't even have the vision and they fell into it, but they've taken what the fans liked about her and that respect that the audience had for her, because they saw her as this hardworking wrestler who never really got her just due. Because when you think about it, all of this dates back to this last year at SummerSlam, where Becky Lynch was challenging for the title. They added Charlotte Flair to the match really at the last minute. Charlotte won the championship that night, and the audience in Brooklyn, New York rejected the entire thing because they saw it as Becky's moment and Becky was going to win. And that kind of fueled the fire. And Becky, she upped her social media game and became amazing at manipulating and promoting herself and showing how the best way to present herself. And really her sort of snark and her sort of fire and fury that was on social media started to bleed over into her real-life character that was portrayed on the show. And it kind of went from there. Like, they were smart enough to realize they had lightning in a bottle and they went with it. And then the weird thing is, you know, she was never going to wrestle Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. And then leading into the Survivor Series this past November, Becky got the concussion. And there was that scene on Raw where she was all bloody in the middle of that whole battle, setting the stage between Raw versus SmackDown going into the Survivor Series. And then she was pulled, so Charlotte Flair was the substitute. But because of the grit and the drama and the physicality of that whole moment with Becky, that coupled with the fact that, again, the audience is not going to get what they want now because of a real-life situation, it just fueled her and made her even more popular. So it was like one of the, again, probably not where WWE intended to go, but lightning in a bottle. Let's capture it. You know, sometimes they hit on things and it's a perfect manipulation by WWE, and they prime it and they get the audience where they want them to go. And sometimes with Becky Lynch right now and like Daniel Bryan a couple of years ago, the audience pushes back and pushes them and forces them to go in the direction that the audience wants. And then WWE's smart enough to realize when they've got to grab on something and run with it. And in Becky's case, they're probably going to end up having the first ever female main event at WrestleMania with Becky against Ronda this April. So they were smart enough to capitalize on it when they needed to.
So that's there from Mike Johnson from PWInsider.com. If you want to hear the rest of that conversation, it's right there on the Under the Hood podcast. Wherever you download your podcast, look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Look for my name, and right there, it's right there for you. It could be SoundCloud, it could be iTunes, it could be the TuneIn app, it could be iHeartRadio. Wherever you download your podcast, make sure you subscribe and download Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. That way you never miss an episode. Hey, you listen to me now, but after 7 o'clock, you might be busy with the family, you might be going out, got to work, you don't get a chance to hear our show live between 7 and 10 weeknights, so that's why you listen to the podcast. That way you can listen to it whenever you'd like. We got great content, great guests, and whatever you listen to during the daytime, yeah, we got it at night too. Quality on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. So download it so that way you can hear our interview with Mike Johnson in its entirety from start to finish. Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. That's our segment we do. We just want to give you a little flavor of what we have there on the podcast, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. All right, coming up, we'll hear from Brian Hamilton from TheAthletic.com, his thoughts on some of the storylines around college basketball. Where are the some quality guys that could be in a Bulls uniform? What does that mean? We'll talk to Brian Hamilton about that, as well as the Super Bowl. How do we see the Super Bowl here with the Patriots and the Rams? All part of the mix right here on Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood!
On ESPN 1000.
By Menon.